The setup today is not a standard setup. 20 monks are missing today, so people are sitting closer to me. Dharma is important and invaluable. Dharma teaches us how to live a life that is free from suffering. Many other disciplines also attempt to answer this question of eliminating suffering. Doctors learn how to treat diseases. Governments learn how to govern people to be happy through political science. Economics teaches how to have a good economy to make people happy. It's an important question in people's lives: how to live a happy life. Buddhism answers this question, and other disciplines and religions also answer this question, but the final answer is different. Whoever prefers whichever answer should follow that discipline. I used to know a physicist who said he didn't respect the Buddha, the Dharma, or the Sangha. He said that he only respects physics, and that physics could answer everything. So, it is up to each person's understanding. When we hear the Buddha's teaching, we don't have to believe him yet. He doesn't tell us to believe him, but dares us to prove it. Let's see where suffering is. Suffering is either at the body or the mind, only these two places. Let's study our body and mind. The Buddha teaches us to be aware of suffering. Suffering is at the body and the mind, so look into them. We can start by having mindfulness to be aware of our body. Be aware of the body when it breathes out or in, when it is standing, sitting, lying down, etc. Don't let your mind float around, thinking haphazardly all the time. Watch the body, and we will see that the body always experiences suffering. Sitting for a long time, standing for a long time, walking for a long time, and even lying down for a long time all lead to suffering. With mindfulness, we can see that the body suffers in all postures. Why do we always have to move around? If we stay still, it will cause soreness and pain. The body always feels soreness, pain, or itchiness here and there, so we always have to move or scratch. The body is showing us that it experiences suffering all the time, but we neglect to acknowledge it. So, we go on with our lives, not seeing the truth that the body is suffering. But with enough mindfulness, we will see that the body is suffering with its in-breath and out-breath. Let's try breathing. Can you feel that even breathing itself is a burden? We can't stop breathing. We must breathe out every time we breathe in, and vice versa. We can see that suffering is present with every breath. With constant mindfulness, we can see nothing else in the body except varying degrees of suffering. But people who haven't trained their mind won't realize this fact. They have to get very sick before realizing that the body is suffering. Why do we always have to change our posture? Why do we always have to breathe in and out? We move our body to get away from suffering. So, movement blocks seeing suffering. After we get sore from sitting for a long time, we move our body. After we move, suffering subsides temporarily. The intense discomfort is gone. But then, after a short while, the discomfort returns, and we have to move again. So, movement obscures the suffering of the body. The texts say that movement obscures suffering, but it's only bodily suffering. The mind runs away from suffering by changing its objects. When bored with an object, it changes to a new one. However, no objects can be forever happy, no matter how good it seems to be. After the mind stays with an object for some time, it feels bored and wants to change its object. So, it runs around searching for a new object through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, bodily sensation, and mind. It is hungry for objects. It hopes that it can change the object to avoid suffering. For example, if we listen to a song we like a few times, it's okay. But if we listen to it hundreds of times, then we'll get so bored when we hear it. Previously, many temples liked to play Tibetan meditation music. At first, it sounds nice and calm. However, after listening to it for some time, now people are bored with it and want it to be turned off. So, we always have to find new objects to please the mind. When we stay with a spouse for several years, we may also get bored. The mind is always suffering, but we don't see it because we change the object all the time. Changing of object obscures seeing the truth of suffering in our mind. So, how do we see that the body and mind are suffering? We need to have mindfulness and concentration. Don't let your mind float away, but don't force your mind. Being mindful is the middle path. It's not being so lenient as to forget the phenomena and not forceful on the body and mind. If we have mindfulness in the body, we can see that the body is full of suffering. We need to change our posture to get away from suffering all the time. If we can't change our posture, suffering will increase to the point that we could die. This is not even about not being able to breathe. Some lay still without moving, such as some sick people. If they just lay still, soon their body will rot. If people just lay still, their back will begin to rot because they can't move. So, let's be aware of the suffering in our body before we move to get away from suffering. Just be aware first, and then move if necessary. It's not that we see suffering, but just stay still. Doing so is self-mortification. We want to learn the truth. We don't want self-mortification. So, we need to have mindfulness. Whenever you feel sore, just be aware of the soreness before you move. Be aware before changing your posture, whether you're walking, standing, sitting, or lying down and feel soreness or pain. This is the initial practice to be aware of suffering in our body. On the other hand, suffering of the mind is more delicate. More delicate mindfulness and stronger concentration are required to see the suffering of the mind. Even before my ordain, I saw that the mind suffers whenever the eye sees, the ear hears, the nose smells, the tongue tastes, the body senses, the mind thinks. How does it suffer? If we have enough mindfulness and concentration, we can see that whenever the eye sees, the mind quivers. Whenever the ear hears a sound, the mind also quivers. Whenever the nose smells, the mind also quivers. So, the mind quivers whenever it has a sensation. We can see that it's so much burden and suffering. Who can see this? Please raise your hand. Who can see that whenever the mind senses something, it quivers? Please raise your hands high. That's quite many of you. The group in the middle that raised your hands, please raise your hands again. One representative, please stand up. It's great. You really see it and not just assume it. Some people answer so well, but it's just from their memory. They never see the actual phenomena. Whenever our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind encounters an object, contact arises. Then, quivering is going to arise in the mind. The mind must work and quiver all day, because sensation is never ceasing. So, we can see that happiness is nowhere to be found. There's only suffering. Sometimes the quivering is strong, sometimes it's weak, but all is suffering. This is seeing the truth, not just thinking. Keep practicing. Wisdom will arise when we see nothing else in the body, only great or slight suffering. The mind also has nothing else except great suffering or slight suffering. Keep learning the truth. The Buddha taught us to be aware of suffering, so I'm teaching you one method. There are several ways, and each person may practice differently, but I'm teaching you the simple way. Try sitting still for a long time and see if it's pleasant or suffering. There's no need to think. Just sit and see the suffering that arises. On the 6th of February 1982, I went to learn from Luang Pudun for the first time. He taught me to watch my mind, so I practiced it. I was on the train on the way back from Surin, and I kept watching and separating the aggregates. He told me to watch my mind. I didn't know where the mind was, but I knew it must be within this body. I set my mind to my hair. In the hair, there is no mind. In the physical body, there is no mind. The mind is within the body, but not in any part of the body. Or is the mind in the feelings? So, I made my mind calm and concentrated. When my mind was happy, I looked into the happiness, it disappeared, and there was no mind. Or is the mind in suffering? I knew how to make the mind happy, but didn't know how to make it suffer. So, I sat still and watched the body. The train was shaking, but I sat still so soreness and pain arose. I sat and watched the discomfort that arose. I looked into the pain and soreness. The pain and soreness disappeared, but I didn't see the mind. I saw that if the body doesn't move, the suffering of the body can be seen clearly. That's why I'm telling you that movement obscures seeing suffering in the body. I'm not talking about profound suffering such as illness or getting hit on the head. For such severe pain, even if we move, it won't go away. I'm talking about ordinary suffering that is not caused by something else. When people are very sick, see how they keep turning and wriggling. Have you seen it? When some people are very sick, they toss and turn. They move around trying to reduce their suffering. But they can't escape because they are very sick. Therefore, the reason we have to move around is to escape suffering. So, we need to have awareness of our body, and we will not be deceived by its movement. When we sit and suffering arises, or when hunger arises, be aware of the suffering first before moving or eating. Overeating is suffering. A full stomach is suffering. Constipation is suffering. Diarrhea is suffering. If we keep watching the body with mindfulness, we will see that suffering is ever present. There is everyday suffering, such as hunger or needing to go to the bathroom. There's also suffering because of the cold, the heat, from being hit, being bitten, or illness. By being mindful, we can see that the body is a base for suffering. As we continue to observe, our wrong view that the body is something good or special will disappear. We will see the truth, the body is not good. It is only suffering. As for the mind, we can observe that after it senses something happiness, suffering, sadness, anger, and delusion always follow. We can see how it works constantly, always changing. This is another way to see the suffering of the mind. We can see that it is always in flux, sometimes greedy, sometimes angry, sometimes lost. It is never stable or reliable. When we meditate, our mind can feel happy and peaceful. However, with wisdom, we can see that happiness and peace are also impermanent. Or, if we like someone, and we can win their heart, we will feel happy, but this is only temporary. It will eventually fade away or even turn into suffering. We spend our lives searching for happiness to satisfy our mind, but happiness is always fleeting. Our mind is exhausted by the search for happiness and by the attempt to escape suffering. But in the end, happiness never stays with us. Suffering cannot be escaped. See it like this. There are many ways to cultivate wisdom through mindfulness of the body or mind, and there are many techniques. Each person does not have to do the same practice. This is why the masters say that each person's path is different. But the main principle is the same as what the Buddha taught: no suffering. Some discover suffering through the body, others through the mind. Their approaches differ, but the conclusion is the same: suffering permeates both. Those who observe the mind can notice that constant craving or hate for object lead to suffering. We also see the mind's constant quivering when it has sensation through the six senses. This is a very delicate suffering. I saw before my ordain that the mind is inherently unsteady and shaken by stimulus through the senses. I continued watching this quivering 4 months, and it was pure suffering, but I didn't know how to get through it. On the 1st of December, I went to meet Luang Porput at the Sa Lawan Forest Temple. On that day, there was a day of the past masters, and a lot of people were there. Luang Porput was preparing for a public preaching when I went in and asked my question. I asked, "I see my mind sensing and quivering all the time. There's only suffering. What should I do? It is too stressful. I see it all day and night. Even while I'm sleeping, my mind wouldn't let go and I continued to see such quivering." Luang Porput tried to help me. He said that Dharma practice in the delicate stage only remains such subtle quivering. There is no major suffering, but subtle quivering is seen as suffering. I listened to him, but I still felt miserable. I wanted to get some rest. Even though he said it's a normal process to see such subtle quivering and suffering, it was too tiring. I saw such quivering 4 months, and I wanted to take some rest. He preached me for about an hour, and all the while, several monks came to call him to go preach elsewhere. People were waiting for Luang Porput, but he said they could wait, as they only listened as a matter of tradition. It is more important to teach one serious meditator, rather than a big group of people who don't understand the preaching. He tried to correct me until he was exhausted. But my mind was fed up with suffering and didn't understand him. Finally, I had to tell him that he should go preach elsewhere, and that I'd find my own solution. After returning home, I wrote a letter to ask Luang Tar Mahabua. I used to write letters to ask him many times, and he'd always answer me back. This time I asked him, "My mind senses the quivering and suffering all night and day. What should I do?" He just wrote back that he just had eye surgery and couldn't write much, so he attached a book for me to read. The book was a thick book called Dharma Preparation. I'm not someone who likes to read Dharma books. Normally, I only read the Three Baskets. It was such a big book to search for a single answer, but he already sent it to me, so I must read it. I put the book on the table, paid him respect and turned a page. Bingo! It's exactly that page. That page answers the question about the mind quivering all day and night. He answered that, in the delicate stage, there remains only quivering as Luang Porput taught me earlier. I sighed and thought that this didn't address my concern. How could I get through this suffering? One day, on my way to work, I was waiting for a bus, and I saw my mind working and suffering. I thought I hadn't practiced calmness meditation for a long time, so I'd better practice some calmness meditation. Right at the bus stop, I breathe in, noting put and counting one, breath out, noting toe and counting two. After several breaths, my mind went into deep concentration, and there was no more body. Only my mind remained. After my mind came out, I felt so refreshed. I felt like I'd rested through a long weekend. Once I realized this, I almost hit myself. I cultivated wisdom without letting my mind rest by calmness, so my mind couldn't handle the suffering. If we watch the suffering of the body or the mind continuously, then at some point, we will not be able to withstand it. Roughly watching the mind may be possible, but in the delicate stage, it will be quivering all day and night, and it will be torturous. Therefore, when we experience this condition, we should return to calmness meditation. Whatever type of meditation makes our mind calm, we should do it to give our mind some rest. I have been practicing calmness ever since I was a child. I did it for 22 years, but didn't gain anything from it. So, my subconscious mind looked down on calmness. When I met Luang Pudun, I started cultivating wisdom, but stopped practicing calmness altogether. After a long time, the power of calmness that I had accumulated was gone. I couldn't continue cultivating wisdom, and I experienced this condition many times. No matter if we watch the suffering of the body or the mind, we should set aside some time for calmness. Let our mind rest. We shouldn't keep watching without giving our mind a break. We can't watch it all the time. Otherwise, our mind will not be able to handle it. So, be mindful, but rest your mind from time to time. It's like we're walking with our two alternating legs. Our two legs need to work together, the same as wisdom and samatha practice. Our two legs need to alternate left and right. Suppose this is wisdom development. We walk left and stop. Then alternate to the right leg. If we move only the left or right leg, we can't go anywhere. Dharma practice also requires both wisdom development and samatha practice. The Buddha taught that the two practices that we should practice with guiding wisdom are calmness and insight. The Four Noble Truths, suffering, its cause, its ending, and the path. We're to know suffering, relinquish its cause, make its ending clear and develop the path. What must be developed is the path, which is calmness practice and insight practice. But it must be developed with great wisdom, not haphazardly. Developing with great wisdom means having clear comprehension. One knows when to practice calmness and when to develop insight. When practicing calmness, one does not stray into insight practice. And when practicing insight, one does not stray into calmness. One is aware of what they are doing and for what purpose. This is called practicing with great wisdom. Practicing calmness and insight with clear comprehension as the guiding wisdom. We should know what, when, how, and how much we should practice which one. Let's practice patiently and we'll improve. Is it difficult? Let's try. Just sit still and see if it brings suffering or pleasantness. That's enough. Just as an example. Can you feel that it's suffering? Those who can see, please raise your hands. Those who don't see it yet, please try sitting for longer, and the truth will show up. Keep having mindfulness and the truth of the body will appear. The truth is suffering, nothing else. Then, continue to watch the mind. See that the mind works all day and night and is full of suffering. I can only tell you how to practice, but you must practice by yourself. I'm telling you, the changing of posture obscures suffering. But if you never care to notice, then you won't see suffering. If we keep running away from suffering, then we won't see any. We'll only see it when we have no more energy to run away, such as when we're sick, then we'll see. But we don't have to wait. Just see it in our everyday life. If we wait to see soreness, it takes time, so we can watch itchiness instead. There's almost always somewhere that is itching. As soon as I said that, many people started scratching. Previously, people just scratched without awareness. I saw many people scratching like monkeys. If we have frequent mindfulness in our body, then we'll see that the body is full of suffering. Keep having mindfulness, and we'll see that the mind is also full of suffering. Knowing suffering is relinquishing the cause of suffering, which is desire. Can you notice that we love our body a lot? We have a strong attachment to our body and wish it to be pleasant, live long, and be healthy. Why so? Because we love our body a lot. But if we have mindfulness, we will see that the body itself is suffering. Knowing that the body is suffering leads to relinquishment of desire, craving, greed, lust. It has several names, but it's the same thing, which is lust or affection. We have strong attachment, because we think that the body is something good. But if we can see that the body is purely suffering, then love and attachment to the body will reduce until there's no attachment. Then, when the body gets old, gets sick, and dies, it's only the body. It is no longer us, getting sick, getting old, and dying. The body is never ourself, no matter how we look at it. Once we know suffering, then we can relinquish our affection and attachment, which is the cause of suffering. To relinquish affection is to relinquish attachment. Then, the mind is free from burden. This is called Nirodha. There are 5 levels of Nirodha cessation: by calmness meditation, by insight, by the noble path, by the noble fruition, and by Nirvana. We don't need to study too much, just see the truth. When the mind doesn't have attachment to the body, does it feel lighter or does it suffer more? When it doesn't have attachment to the body, it gets rid of lot of burden, because the body is a lot of burden. Next, we see that the mind is suffering, and we will relinquish the cause of suffering, which is affection in the body and mind. This releasing of attachment is Nirodha. We can reach this stage by practicing Samatha and Vipassana. We should practice Samatha at the correct time, when the mind is restless or tired. When the mind has enough power, let it come out to see the truth of the body and mind. Once the mind truly knows suffering, it will relinquish affection and attachment to the body and mind. It will let go of its attachment to the body and mind, and does not pick up anything else. That is the end of suffering. The end of suffering is when we release attachment in the body and mind. One person used to ask the Buddha, "What is Buddhism's ultimate teaching? Please summarize it in a single sentence." The Buddha replied that it is, "All things shouldn't be attached to." This is the heart of the Buddha's teaching. Things here mean all physical and mental phenomena. These shouldn't be attached to. It means that the mind and the body shouldn't be attached to. We're attached to them because we don't know that the body and mind are suffering. As we continue a practice, we see that the body and mind are suffering, and we will lose interest and attachment to them. To have no attachment is the ultimate teaching of the Buddha. If somebody asks you what is the ultimate teaching in Buddhism, it is that all things shouldn't be attached to. The way to have no attachment is to know suffering until it relinquishes the cause of suffering. To relinquish affection and attachment is to transcend all suffering. This is the key message, the core teaching of the Buddha. Once we have no attachment to the body, we won't suffer, even when the body suffers. Once we have no attachment to the mind, there will be no more place for suffering, because the mind is not us. The mind is not us and suffering is not related to us. The mind will reach true tranquility, which is nirvana. Nirvana is the true happiness of which there's no more thorn. The pleasantness of the body is something temporary. It is always under pressure to change. Happiness in the mind is also under pressure. With practice, we can see this. With enough practice, one day, we'll not be attached to anything, whether the mind or the body, the physical or mental phenomena. Even nirvana is not to be attached to. As long as we have attachment, we can't reach nirvana. We can only reach nirvana once we have no attachment. Nirvana is non-self and is not a subject for attachment. The subject for attachment is the body and the mind, our five aggregates. That's all for today. My preaching is quite difficult. Be patient and continue your practice. One day, you're going to understand what I'm teaching. My teaching is based on my practice experience. It's not from a textbook or from my imagination. I learned from the masters and practiced until I had no more doubt. So now I'm teaching you. As we start mindfulness practice, we will experience shorter suffering and more happiness in our life. As our knowledge grows, we will realize that there is no happiness, only varying degrees of suffering. Once the mind sees this, it will let go of attachment and hence the cause of suffering. To let go of affection in the body and mind is to let go of attachment. We'll understand that the Buddha has taught Dharma for us to reach this point. The point we see that all things shouldn't be attached to. Suffering arises from attachment. Attachment arises from desire. And desire arises from avijja. That is all for today. Next, submit your homework. Zoom is quite good. Today, 3 out of 8 people are submitting their homework from abroad.
Number 1. I have more happiness with Dhamma practice. My mind is more free, but it doesn't have enough power. For my practice, I mostly watch my breath, but I tend to control it. In my daily life, I try to be mindful of my body, but I also have a strong sense of self. I would like to meditate for you to see.
Your mind has wandered away. It's good, but still a bit off. You're still adjusting your mind to be calm and cool. Can you see it? You're fabricating your mind. Don't do it. Once you start, you make your mind happy and calm like a drug addict. This drug is absorption itself. It can cause strong addiction. If you enjoy it, you could waste a lot of time. Don't fabricate your mind like that. Just practice with your normal mind. Now, it's not normal. It's too tight.
Number 2. Every morning and evening I meditate and pray by watching my breath and walking meditation. In daily life, I uphold the 5 precepts and see my body moving. You used to say I'm attached to stillness. Now I can see the defilements and my competitive self. My mind has more will to practice and can understand better. Please give me some advice.
You're practicing correctly. So, continue your practice till your mind understands clearly. Can you see what is your frequent defilement? If you can see it, you're doing well. Please continue your practice. Student number 3, you're doing well. There's no need to panic.
Number 3, in my daily life I meditate and uphold the 5 precepts. I have frequent awareness in a day, and sometimes I see the body that is lifting the glass is not myself. Sometimes I'm envious but I can't tell what phenomena it is, so I just know that I'm confused. You used to tell me that my mind goes outside its base. Is it better now?
It's better now, but don't force your mind. Be aware when it goes outside its base. When your mind goes outside, don't correct it. When it comes to its base, don't preserve it. Let it work naturally and just be aware as it is. Now it's too tight. Don't pull your mind in. Now it's tight and not natural. Can you feel that it's tight? But it's okay. When people talk to me, most of them try to tighten their mind. Student number 1, you're still addicted. Don't let your mind be immersed in there. It's going to slow you down.
Number 4, I practice by meditating and watching my breath for 30 minutes daily. I see the body breathing with the mind as the knower. When I see thoughts that arise, they go away and my mind becomes free. During the day, I can see the body and its posture. I watch the breath as my base, but my mind is often overtaken by thoughts. Please advise.
You are doing it right. Keep practicing until it is enough. Do you feel that your life and mind have changed a lot? Previously, it was very messy. Now, it has relaxed a lot. Student number 3, do you feel tense? Everyone that I praise becomes tense. People want to be good all the time, but there's no need for that. Student number 4, your mind is wandering. Are you aware of it? Just stay with your meditation relaxingly. It is too strong right now. Be more relaxed. Do you feel that you're fabricating it? With expertise, you can stay with it happily and then come out. Just use your normal mind, don't make it up. It can be good. It can be bad. Be mindful and meditate with your normal mind, and you will develop easily. But if you make your mind unnatural, it will be difficult and your mind will become still and unrealistic. Are you aware that your mind is lost? Move like this and be aware of it. When you're aware of your body, your mind is more relaxed. If you try to watch the mind, it will be tight. So watch the body as your base.
Number 5. Earlier this year my body was seriously sick. I saw the mind that was restless and afraid of death. If I were to die, I don't know what to do. I practice every day. I see the body and mind working separately. Recently, I feel that my practice is not progressing. Am I doing something wrong?
It's not wrong, but don't expect to see progress every day. Just continue your practice. Then, when you get very sick, watch if the body or the mind dies. The mind is the watcher. It doesn't die together with the body. Just watch the body die. Keep watching and you'll see that the body is not us. Once the mind accepts that the body is not us, it won't struggle. It struggles because it wants the body to recover. It's this desire. But the truth of the body is that it gets sick, gets old, and dies. See that the one getting sick, getting old, and dying is the body, not us dying. Keep watching like this and you'll improve.
Number 6. I practice by observing the body breathe. On days that I am restless, I will add chanting put to. Daily, I will observe the body and mind as much as possible. I can see the 3 characteristics, mostly in the aspect of non-self. Sometimes, I have to think about it. I would like to ask for advice.
you are doing it right. But your mind is too scattered in Dharma. You don't have to be too curious. Just stay in the present. Be aware of your body and mind in the present moment. The mind will understand Dharma by itself when it's ready. It is not your business. Don't expect results and don't rush. Let your mind be at ease. If you rush, your mind will be chaotic. Practice comfortably. Don't be lazy, but don't rush.
Number 7. I practice by meditating every day. Sometimes I watch the breath, sometimes I watch the physical feelings. I feel that my mind is restless all the time. I don't see much feelings. Sometimes I feel wind rising in my chest and I burp to feel more comfortable. I have had some peace of mind and some wisdom. Please give me some advice.
When you watch your breath, expand your sensing boundary a bit. See your body sitting and breathing. See your body moving. Don't focus into your breath. Just be aware that your body is breathing and your mind will be more relaxed. You focus into your breath too much. If you see the body breathing, it will be lighter and easier. At this point, your mind is broader. Practice like this. Don't press your mind. Can you remember it now? Good. Practice like this, and it'll be easier. But you're intentionally setting it to broad. Delusion has crept in, and it's a bit blurry. Use your normal mind to see your body breathing and moving. Now it's okay. See that the body is being known and the mind can work by itself. Both are not you. Student number 8, you're doing well. There's no need to panic.
Number 8. I chant put on the in-breath and toe on the out-breath for 15 to 30 minutes in the morning and evening. During the day, I watch the body move and chant put toe see another knower watching the body moves, and sometimes I see that this body is not myself. I see defilements arising from the middle of my chest. Am I seeing it or just imagining it?
You see it for real. You are meditating very well. Your mind is on the right track. You are doing well. Keep at it. You don't need to change anything. Just keep practicing like this. It is very good. Hey, student number 1, open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at the world as beautiful as the king's chariot. Don't stay inside. Come outside and experience the world. See the changes. If you stay like that, it will waste your time. Use it to rest occasionally, but don't stay there thinking it will be good. It is a good place to rest, but then come out and develop wisdom. After a while, and your mind gets restless, go back to calmness again. When you practice, use your normal mind. Don't fabricate it. Be aware of your breath naturally, and it will calm down on its own. If you want to be calm, you tend to fabricate your mind. Don't fabricate it, but be aware of it comfortably. You may go home now.